We're going to welcome Grant Henderson. Grant's going to be here to talk about how to apply key strategies to survive and thrive in a tough economy and not to become a casualty or statistic. So he's got a lot of good ideas for a small business, medium-sized business, large business. So we'd like to welcome Grant.
Thank you. In the chair. Yeah. They pay the association fees if they're still in business, right? Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. I will step away from the double mic. That helps, right, Randy? Okay. As I was introduced, I am a business coach. And what I do with clients is I work primarily with small and medium-sized business. I work with the business owners and their senior teams. I also work with their head of marketing, or if they have a head of marketing, and their sales professionals. And I work one-on-one and within the small groups. And as a coach, my role is really to try to get the best performance out of the individual and get the best performance out of the company. And the company that I have is called Lift Profit Coaching. So one of the measures we have is the profit of that company. So I've had years of consulting and a lot of background, which I'll get into a little bit later, but I'm not really here to kind of tell you all the things you should be doing or all the things that you probably already know you should be doing. My role up here today is to sort of conduct a workshop to try to draw out the best of what you've got and the best of what your colleagues have too. So this is a workshop as opposed to me standing up and pontificating all the things that you should be doing in your businesses to stay alive. Okay, you're your experts in your business. I can bring in some expertise, but I really want to draw out most of your expertise and knowledge. Have you look at your businesses in perhaps a slightly different way? Also, take this time today away from your business to kind of work a little bit on some of your business here. Make some better decisions in the future. Have a look at your business to see what you should and could be doing in your business. But your business is different than the persons across the hall here. So even though you're all in the same industry, your businesses will be a little unique. And so that's why I say I can't tell you what to do. I can show you a few things, help you discover, and then you can take the action on those. So that's our intent today. It's a workshop. Are you okay with that? Okay. Because sometimes you're expecting a speaker to come up here and tell you all the things about what they've done, the book they've written, that sort of thing. I haven't written any books. But I have worked with hundreds of businesses in Europe, United States, Canada, and Australia, and I can bring a breadth of some of the things that have worked for them and how they've discovered them. So maybe we'll get into that today a little bit. Let me just get myself lined up here. Get this working. Okay, let me just test some of my equipment here. Forward. All right. As I said, it's a workshop, so I'm going to take my my jacket off. Vertical stripes make you nice and thin looking. Okay. So here's a quote. A good hockey player plays where the puck is. A great hockey player plays where the puck is going to be. Any idea who coined that? This is Canada. I expect somebody to know this. Walter? Gordie Howe? Don Cherry? Bobby Orr? They all could have said that. But the person that did say it is Wayne Gretzky, and it probably came from Walter. The reason I like this quote and the relationship to hockey in the discussion we're about to have is that hockey is a very fluid and very fast game. Nobody stops after each play, has a huddle for 15 seconds, figures out what the next play is going to be, who's going to do what, when, and where. It's a dynamic game. You're playing both offensively and defensively, and sometimes at the same time. You're having to react to what's going on the ice and play within the rules that sometimes can change between games. So it's very fluid, very dynamic, and very fast. And you have to make decisions quickly. You have to be looking at what's going on. And what I like about this quote is it says, if you're playing the game where the puck is, you're losing the game. If you're playing to where the puck is going to be, then you're probably going to be a great player. So, what do you need to know where the economy is going? And right now, we're living in one chaotic economy. There are a lot of things that are happening that we don't know where it's going to be the next day, the next month, the next year, the next 2 years. So, is it challenging to make decisions right now in your business? Good ones? Workshop, you have to participate. Yes? No? Yeah. Do you think it's more challenging right now than it was 5 years ago? Hands up to say yes. Hands up to say it's the same. Okay. All the older people know it's the same. When the gentleman was up speaking about the telecom, I worked for Bell Canada in the mid-90s. It just brought back some bad memories. Nortel systems. Okay. So, if you knew where the economy was going to be, would you be a better business person, make better decisions? If you knew what your clients were going to do next, what the value of what they valued was going to be, would you be able to know where the puck is going to be and what to do about it? Okay. Same with your suppliers. What about the competition? What about the person sitting next to you? If you knew what their pricing was going to be next year, could you do something about it? Right? What about your employees? What are they looking for? What do they want? Who should you be hiring? What techniques? Okay. So what else are you going to need to know to be a great business owner, to make good business decisions that's going to be profitable for the rest of your for the next number of years? Okay. So this is a Survive and Thrive workshop, and here are the rules of the workshop. We're here to work together. I bring expertise, as I said. You bring expertise. The challenge is we're in a room where you have your competitors. And I'm going to be asking you to share some information, to dig deep and work on your business, and again, share that information among your peers. And I'm hoping you're okay with this. If there's anything that you wanted that's super secret, super private, then certainly don't share it. But I want to offer you this. In the mid-90s, somebody invested into Apple to keep them alive because they figured the more that companies like Apple were in the business, the better it was for their business. Anybody know whose company invested in Apple in the 70s? Microsoft. One of the reasons they invested was they wanted to improve the whole industry, raise the whole level of the ocean. The other reason they wanted to be in there was they wanted to know what Apple was doing, of course. Right? But the real big reason was they wanted to raise the whole industry and improve it. So let's use this. That's why you're part of the association. Let's use this room and the minds in here to raise the whole ocean. Are we okay with that? Hands up to say yes, please. Anybody that says no, just so we know, got to be careful. Okay. The other thing is I'm going to be asking you questions to draw out. So I'd like you to take notes. Oh, by the way, when I was putting this together, I was thinking, these aren't principles that we deal with in a difficult economy. These are the principles we need to apply in every economy. So whether it be now or 5 years from now, they'll be the same. Whether it's 5 years prior or 10 years prior, these are the same principles. And some of the things I'm going to be bringing up to you were stuff that was used in the 50s and 60s. They're tried and they're proven. Okay. So the workshop is this. Like I said, an opportunity to work on the business. You don't always get a chance to kind of step back and think about the business, so use this opportunity to do it. Okay, I want to solve problems that you have. Not my problems, but these ones, yours right here. Not problems that I've written about in a book or my clients' problems. These are here for you. So let's share them, and we'll try to work on them. I want to help you anticipate where the puck is going to be in your business so you can make better decisions, whether it be 2 years from now, 10 years from now, and also have something in front of you that says, I can look at the industry, I can look at my business, I can look at my customers, and I can see what's going on. Okay, I can analyze the play. I think what makes Wayne so great is the way he positions himself on the ice. He's looking and observing where that puck is going. If you ever watch him, he's sort of beside the net. He's not right in front of the net. He sends somebody else there to block that out. But he's beside the net, he's looking and he's watching what's going on, and then he takes action. He doesn't just go out there and play. He's thinking. So every day he's on the ice, he's on the ice and he's thinking. So we want to be able to do the same thing. Okay? And then I'd like you to be able to turn that into action. So it's not just one of those self-help books that sits on the dresser or the diet that you never really do. These have to be your problems, and the solutions have to be yours. Okay? Not my solutions, your solutions. And you choose to take them or not take them. Okay? So each of you have a piece of paper in front of you. If you didn't bring it, the hotel has been kind enough to give it to you. I'd like you to sort of break it up into these four columns, three lines, four columns. Now, you can choose to take notes any way you like. I know what's coming up, so I'm suggesting you do it like this. So I want to get a little sense before we go in here, actually, who am I speaking with? I need to know kind of who my audience is. How many of you own your own business here? Hands up. So a lot of business owners, okay. How many represent or manage a territory or franchise of a larger group? Franchise owners? How about suppliers? Suppliers to the industry? One supplier to the industry? Good. Okay. Anybody that I missed? Managers of a small business? Nope. Okay. Technicians? Any technicians? Yep. Good. Okay. So whether you're an employee or a manager or the owner, an employee needs to bring value to that business. So they should be looking at their business that they work for in a similar fashion. And if you're a territory manager or whatnot, you need to be doing the same thing for your franchise. Okay. We're all trying to create value and work so that our businesses do well so we can bring value as an employee. We're a supplier to that company. So I look at employees as they're supplying labor, they're supplying intelligence. Okay. So this can be just as valuable as an employee, even for your own personal life too. Okay. So I also want to say, as I mentioned, I want to look at what's really challenging you and your industry so that, you know, we can take this material that I'm bringing forth and actually have it solve your problems. Not that just becomes a good entertainment up here. As you can tell, it's not going to be great entertainment. It's going to be good work. So I'm going to open up the floor, or I'm going to ask you to take 1 minute, and down that side of the page, on the left-hand side of your page, I would like you to write down all the things that are challenging you in your business and things that are scaring you in your business, the economy in your business, okay? Down the right-hand side of that, sorry, the left-hand side of that page. And we'll give you 1 minute to do it. How do we do? So it's a good time to bring this up again. The tougher the challenges are, we get to work on them here, and you get a whole bunch of minds to actually help you work on them with it. So it's to your benefit, I think, anyways, to to participate as much as possible and to write them down as much as possible, okay? Because I'm going to take you through a process that you can take back to your work, you can take back to your teams to help solve the challenges that you're facing. So what we're doing today in a model, you can take back and use, okay? Not just the content that we did, but the actual process that we're going through, this workshop. All right. So who wants to share one of the bigger challenges? Yeah. Undercutting the business, ruining the market? Okay. So your competitor's undercutting the business, ruining the market? Okay. So I'm just going to put undercutting here. And prices. You said you had another one? The challenge of selling new concepts to the customers? Selling new concepts. Okay. Anybody else? Getting new business. Getting new business. Do you have another one? Yeah, any other ones? Do you have more than one on your list? Sorry? So someone else there is gathering leads and then reselling them to you.
That's right.
Okay, and how does that affect you? You're not getting enough of them, or... Right. So I'm going to call them lead generators. Is that okay? That's what I call lead generator business. Okay. Sorry? Deceitful tactics. I before E, except after C. Deceitful tactics. They don't teach you spelling in MBA school.
Customer perception of our industry.
Is good or poor or...
I don't think it's poor, depending on for sure.
Okay. Sorry? Okay, this is kind of like...
When you think pest control, you don't think skilled trades, like electrician...
Okay. Okay, industry perception. Regulations, what's challenging about the regulations? Too tough, not enough? Changing regulations. Yeah. Am I allowed to hit somebody? Can I hit from... No headshots, you know. Yes. Back there, another one. Collections. Somebody over here had some. Yeah. Staffing? What about staffing? So, skilled staff, finding skilled staff, keeping skilled staff. Skilled staff. Okay. There's got to be more than that. Yes. What about advertising? And why is that challenging? Where to be? Okay. So, where to spend your marketing dollar? Would that work? You know, you got social media, etc. Okay? Yes. Time management. For men and attending conferences. Right? Yep. Anything else? Overhead costs. Like telecom. Right? Time management. Got it? Overhead costs. Are they going up? Or are they going down? Are you worried that they're going up? Okay. Yes. Self-employed. Risk. Injury. Every month keeps you up. Now we're getting into something. Paying bills. So anything really scaring you in the industry, in the business right now? Seriously. No? What's got you really worried? Supply of product? Okay. Hold on. Product supply. Is that recent or last 10 years? But you're still in business. Okay. Yes? Right. Customer affordability. Can they pay? Right. What else? It's got to be more. Really, what's keeping you up at night? Lawsuits.
Well, not keeping me up. Well, something we're always worried.
Right, okay. But not you. It's everybody else. What's the name of your company?
I'm not telling you.
I got to tell you, driving into the hotel today, at the very front as you pull in, right along Dixon Road, there's a row of pest control management trucks. And you're either coming into a hotel that is really, really clean, or is about to become really, really clean. Okay. Who has the Holiday Inn contract? Whoever it is, it must be pretty nice to have all your competitors here checking it out. Okay, sorry, you had another one?
Gas.
Being, you're sniffing it at night or what? No. Gas prices going up. Generally, are all of your input prices going up? Yeah? And you've got customers that their affordability of you is going down. So what's happening? Really? And that doesn't worry you? Margins squeezed. What's her name? Okay. All right. This is good. And what I really would like to bring out, there's really nothing here that's unusual too often, even the lawsuits, because we're getting more and more litigious thanks to the Americans, I think. And 80% of my business is actually done in the United States. So it just happens to be in their nature. They're both worried about it. Well, they're less worried about it because it's just part of what they deal with. Okay, I'm just putting these down here so that I can see them and I don't really have a place to put them up. Okay, thank you for that. And we're going to actually deal with pretty much all of these today, believe it or not. And as you can probably tell, there's no one quick solution. There's no silver bullet to all this. Any one of these solutions requires a real persistence and consistent activity in order to break it. And in some cases, it takes a collective to do it too. Okay, so I asked you to do it in four columns, so I got some more questions to have you. Beside each of the ones that you listed, and you're welcome to share some of the ones that others have put up here too, okay, is if I solve that problem, if I solve the fact that my wife scares me, what would that accomplish? Okay, so if I solved it, what would result? Beside that, in the next column, if I solved it, what would result? And along in the same column, what would that mean to me and mean to others? I'll give you 2 minutes to work on that. If you have any questions, just raise your hand and I'll come by. Where I have to get you really thinking and digging deep into the layers. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you. And I'm wondering what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face. Losing control, yeah. So here's, just to give you a little idea what we're doing, is I'm trying to get where the problems are, then I'm trying to create some incentive or motivation for and clarity around why you want to solve them or what the solution will do. Okay, so we spend a lot of time, somebody brought up time management. We spend a lot of time, I find, including myself, trying to solve problems without really knowing what the result we want it to have. Or knowing with all the different things going on in our lives, we're trying to solve so many problems. Where if we really took a moment and thought deeply about some of the things that we're dealing with, we'll find that some of those problems really aren't problems. And some of those problems, the solutions, one solution can solve several. And if we can prioritize what those are, we can be a lot more strategic and time effective about what we do. So I got to tell you, 70% of my time and work with clients is about getting them to really think about their issues and to take the time and effort, which is an efficient way of doing it, to resolve those. Okay? So I'm hoping that you're going to take this and really look at this as an opportunity to solve some of those problems in the time that we have. Okay? Because if you spend an hour with this, we could solve a lot. And that could open up a lot of opportunities for you. Okay? So the reason I ask the question is, what will result if we were to solve this? So we really want to sort of monetize or understand, if I can get this done, what's going to result? What's going to happen? Is it really worth it? And when I know that, then I can kind of rank it up into all the other things that I want to solve too and say, which one, based on the effort and time, is it going to really make a big difference? And then when it really gets tough and going, I can look at what the outcome is I want it to be and say, yeah, I really want that. I really want to retire when I'm 55. So that's the exciting part. Because in order to solve any of these problems, if they were easy, they would have been solved already. So they're going to take some effort. We need some motivation at the other end, the pleasure of getting it done and visualizing what that looks like. Somebody walking up on the podium getting a gold medal has visualized that moment when they're up at 4 o'clock in the morning in the snow or in the rain and doing their workouts, when they could have been laying in bed with the rest of us and enjoying the sleep time. Something had to get them out. Where you want to go is what's going to get you out, what's going to keep you going in that path. So let's share some of those. So who brought up the idea of the challenge of customer affordability? You probably all share it too, right? So if you could solve the customer affordability issue, what would happen to your company? It would grow. And if it grew, what would happen? So more money, more people. You own the company? Would you make more money? Okay. And if you made more money, who else would benefit? No, really, who else would benefit? Okay. The whole economy would benefit. Right. Yes, the economy would benefit because the economy benefits. You're obviously hiring more people, so they benefit. Okay. What about you? Where would you spend that extra money? What would you do with it? Retire. Comfortably. And if you retired, what would you do? No, really, what would you do in your retirement? Golf? Which would be what? Sorry? The reason that I'm going this deep is we all think we can grow if we solve this problem. So why aren't we solving this problem? But when we start to make it personal, we make it into that real thing, like I'll get to send my kids to university. I'll get to retire early. I'll get to travel the world with my wife, my spouse. Okay? It starts to get more real. Not more real, but a little more personal. And maybe there's a legacy in there somewhere. You know, I've built a business. I've employed a lot of people, and I've been able to retire because I sold a very profitable business, something that was attractive to somebody else, right? Okay. Now we're getting to see where that motivation is. So why would you spend all that extra effort into trying to figure out how to make it more affordable to the clients? Because of all these things, okay? So we're trying to dig deeper into the real motivation here, the one that's going to get you out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's what we're really trying to find. So what it means to you, which, okay, I'd like to have a little more money. But oftentimes we want to do things for others, like our spouse or like our children or the legacy that we leave. So that's what we're trying to do with this question. Do we want to do it with another one, or should we go move on? Okay. So each one of those, I want you to drill down in the future as your homework into, if you're going to solve that problem, what will the outcome actually be? What's my motivation, inspiration around doing it? Okay, and that may be something you stick on your card or someplace on the wall that says, here's what I'm doing. Or maybe it's your drive time. You pull your little card out and say, why am I working so hard to drive the cost of my business down so that I can be more affordable to my clients and still make my bigger margin? Why am I relentless at managing my cost, my telecom cost perhaps? Okay, because of that. And I know affordability is kind of one of those things that's just general. So we'll need to make more specific of this too. Okay. Another question. Unless you'd like to move something else here. Okay, but this can probably go across a lot of the different problems or challenges that we have. Okay. And I think we sort of answered this question in just what we did is, what is so important to affordability to you and others? Okay. So if you were to retire early, why is that so important? What would be so important about that? So I'd like you to put that down right underneath. What is so important to it? Right beside it. Health. Yeah. You don't need to be exposed to pesticides anymore. Goes down or up? There's some people that, you know, retirement, that makes their blood pressure go up because they like the job that they do so much. Right. Okay, let's move on. Okay. In the third column, I'd like you to answer this question. What would happen, and I'll give you 2 minutes to do it, for each of the challenges that you've written down, if I'm not able to solve this problem, what will happen? What impact will it have on you and on others? If I can't solve the affordability problem, if I can't solve the exposure problem, if I can't solve the lead generator problem, if I can't solve the gas price problem, if I can't solve the paying bills problem, if I can't collect from my clients problem, what will happen? Write it down. Well, if nothing's going to happen, just write it down. Nothing. Okay. If you don't solve the problem, what will happen? Somebody else, please share. Stress? Which problem? All of them. You'll be more stressed. Or you'll be stressed the same way. More stressed. Okay? And if that continues on the way it is, what happens? So what? So you get stress. You're already stressed. What happens is more stress. So it strains the relationship. And what happens then? What happens then? Well, you... Well, what happens? I mean, you've been living in a stressed or strained relationship for a while. What's wrong? Then why solve it? I know it's a silly question, but it's not. If you're okay with the stress or you're living with the stress, then what's motivating you to make the change? Why solve it? If we don't know where it's going to take us, why go on a diet? You know, I like eating. I like having my martinis on Fridays. Why stop? It's okay, right? I like bed bugs in my bed. I mean, they're warm and fuzzy and cozy. Why should I do anything? Why should I change? You're stressed. Where is that going to take you? You sort of alluded to it. I stress. I put strain in my relationship. My wife finally says, I've had enough of this. Goodbye. I found somebody different, better, or other. I don't need this anymore. Then what happens? We already said that if you solve it, you'd be happier. If you don't solve it, you're going to be stressed, and that stress is going to compound itself to the point where your relationship deteriorates. Are you motivated to change it if your wife says, I've had about enough, and I've packed my bags and I'm leaving?
That's a loaded question.
And what the answer is? Okay. What happens if you're not able to make or bring affordable products and services to your clients? Right now, they're challenged on affordability. If you can't make it affordable to them, what happens to your business? Yes. It contracts. Right. And if it keeps contracting, you keep can't answering that, what happens to your business? You close. And if you close your business, what happens? You try to get a job someplace else. Nobody hire you because you had your own business before and nobody wants another boss working for them. Right? Okay. So we need to find out what is the impact if we keep doing the same thing again and again and again, or it keeps getting worse. We're following these trends. And I'm sure you deal with this in your customers. One of the things we can work on, I've worked on with clients, is how do we get that client to say yes? How do we get them to be more urgent about what they do? How do we get them to value what you do? Part of the way is we show them what the pleasure could be if they didn't have bed bugs and didn't have to live with it. And we show them the pain that would get if they didn't take care of it right away. People are motivated by pain and by pleasure. If we can expand that pain to pleasure gap, a few things result. Okay? People move faster. They take action. They'll do something. They'll pay more to get it fixed. You can look at your house right now. What are those things that are kind of nagging that need to be fixed that aren't fixed? Right? And what happens if the basement floods? Do you get your butt in there and get it fixed? Yeah, because it's a pain and it's urgent and critical. Now, that piece of siding or that brick or that screw or that door that squeaks, that's not painful. until somebody starts whining and crying about it, and then you get on it, right? So we only want to solve those problems or create those problems when, and we'll only fix those problems when they become a pain or when we decide that the pleasure of solving them is going to be so great. But a lot of times we're looking at our problems and we say, ah, it's customer affordability. Yeah, boy, I'd like to be able to fix that. I'll get on it. Man, it's just the economy. Yeah, I'll get on it. Okay? Because little bit by little bit, it's increments, and then eventually it gets critical. And when it gets critical, what happens if you're the person having to pay for it? Okay? If you show up to a client whose house is infested by termites, are they more willing to pay a greater amount for that fix than if you showed up and there was only a few termites? Right. So you're going to pay more and get it done faster if you can understand the true cost of not doing it. Now tell me something. If you had a few termites, is it cheaper and less expensive to fix that problem than it is if you wait weeks, months, or whatever? If you don't solve this affordability problem now, he's going to lose his wife. You're not going to be able to retire. But that's way down the line, right? But if I bring he says no. But if I bring that to the present and I make you feel that right away, then you understand what that feels like right now. It's almost like you say to your customer, if you don't take care of those termites, you're going to have a whole lot of them. And they look at you and go, yeah, I don't really want a whole lot of them, but, you know, what's a few termites? And then if you were able to walk that client over to a house that was infested with termites and make them stay there overnight, do you think they would make a decision right away? Right. We need to do the same thing about the problems. So if they're really important and we see where they're going to result if we don't take care of them right away or start working on taking care of them right away, we're going to have a house full of infestation. It's going to cost us more. That means the cost of our business goes up, and that means our cost to our clients goes up, and our clients can't afford us anymore. Okay. Do you have challenges with your employees to say, you know, do something? Get them to do something? If you knew what would result if they were taking care of those things in their view, they might be more motivated to do it. So this can also apply to that. We'll talk about that a little later. Okay. That's why I ask these questions. These are problem-solving techniques to understand where the pain is and where the pleasure could be. We exaggerate the pain, we exaggerate it, we make it real, we make it current, and we also exaggerate the pleasure and make it current, and then we're motivated to do something about it. Does that help? Is that okay? Give me some feedback here. Is this worthwhile? Am I going down the right way? Okay, I'm hoping you're not going to lose your wife because we're going to fix this right here. All right. So, back to a great hockey player plays where the puck is going to be. We are in a very challenging economy. Right, we don't know what's going to happen in Europe. We don't know what's going to happen in the United States or when it's going to happen. Our banks have reduced the lending. There's a credit crunch going on. 3 years ago, they would lend to anybody. Now they won't lend to anybody. Happened in 92. I was working with a bank called Morgan Financial. My job was to go and lend money to small and medium business. I had a wonderful opportunity. I was hired to work and carry the bag of the head of lending, which was basically, he was the sales guy, the head sales guy. So I worked with him for 6 months, carried his bag, did up the credit applications, did the credit presentations to the credit committee. I learned the ins and outs at the age of 24 on how to get stuff done through a credit committee. And then I went out and started lending on my four as the sales guy. And I put a lot of dollars on the books because I understood what was required at that credit committee. And then I even went out and bought a house. And I had a mortgage at 14%. don't know if any remember you when mortgages were at 14 and 18%, right? Okay. Then the market died. My company said, we're not lending anymore. And I had talked to my VP, and he said, what do you do now? He goes, you go and play golf for the summer and come back in the fall, and then we start working on the clients to restructure their debt. I was young, and I figured, I don't really want to do that. So I ended up working with Bell Canada. And I ended up managing their 800 service and as a product manager, and I brought their product to work into the small business arena. So if you're around the $8 for an 800 number through competition, that was part of my project coming through Bell Canada. Anyway, a great hockey player plays where the puck is going to be. So how do we know where the puck is going to be when the economy is in such a dysfunctional state right now? And one of the things that I was going through, as I was going through this thing, this has happened. Every 10 years, we've got some sort of cycle like this. And that's when I said, this is principles that we apply in any economy, good or bad. Okay? So, back to it. Our goal here is to create good business. Good business is profitable through good times and in bad times. We're creating sustainable profit. That's our puck in the net. That's our Stanley Cup, right? Year over year, you're creating profitability. I'm assuming you agree with me that that is the goal of the business, right? Okay. Second, how do we do this? We are continually delivering value to that customer. The customer sees enough value in what we do that they're willing to pay us for it. And they're willing to pay us for it more than it costs us to deliver it. That's the business equation. And the reason I bring this up is we need to get back to some of the principles in which we do our business by. And I know as business owners, you get this. Sometimes employees don't quite get it. We need to educate them on that. Okay? In order to drive affordability, we'll see that your input costs are going up. Your telecom costs are going up. Okay? Your chemical costs are going up. Your government regulation is going up. Those are costs. Your banking fees are going up. Okay? Those are things. So your costs are going up. Can you pass those along to your customers? Apparently not. Not when they're losing their jobs. Right? So that becomes that affordability trap. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. There is a long-standing model by Michael Porter, and we're going to apply that to understanding what's going on in the marketplace and what you're going to do about it with these problems. Okay? And basically what Michael Porter says is, understand who has the power in the relationship. Okay? When I was debating about putting this workshop on, I was debating, do I give them all these tips about, you know, reduce your costs, get close to your customer, use social media as a cheaper way of doing your marketing. Create products and services that are lower cost and entry and then move the client up. Those are all tactics. Okay, those things you can use and definitely will, and we'll talk maybe a little bit about them today. But what I really wanted to bring across was something that wasn't out there that you could Google that says, you know, what do I do in a tough economy? That's what you'll get. This is a way for you to look at what's going on in the game and say, here's where I need to be going. Here's where I need to be going. In the next 2 years or 3 years, this is where I need to be in place. And you'll be able to make more confidence decisions now because you'll have a better understanding of where things are happening and why things are happening now and where they're going to be going. And then as the economy changes, if you apply these thinkings and this lens, you will be able to see what's going on. Probably before anybody else that isn't in this room. Okay. Who do I have? Okay. So how this works. Right now, let me ask you this question. Who has more power in the relationship or bargaining power or leverage, you or your customers? How many says you? How many say your customers? Why is that? they have a lot of choice. Right. In the telecom, well, let's put it in the cable and telephone business, you know, whoever brings you your movies, who has more power, the customer or Rogers or Bell? The supplier. Okay. So can you negotiate with Bell for lower rates? Not really. Can your customer negotiate with you for lower rates? Yes. They've got more choices. They can choose to use you or they can go someplace else that's cheaper, right? So in the case, the customer has the leverage, has the power. Now, what's happened in the last 3 years that is giving them, what's going on in their lives that's affecting their ability to pay you? They're getting less income. They're losing their jobs, okay? So when we look at that and say, what's going on with our customer, we can say, we're going to be running into a price situation. So what basically Porter said is, whoever has the power here, and whenever that shift of power changes, that's what's going to make dramatic changes or macro changes in the marketplace. So what's happening right now is expected. What's going to happen in 2 or 3 years to your customers? Do you know? How many people here predominantly use our home or consumers? And then how many people are business to business? Business to business. Okay. Now, on the supply side, who has the power here? Who are your suppliers? We have somebody here who provides product, or maybe they've stepped out, right? Work with me on this. Who supplies your costs? Let me put it this way. We said customer affordability is it. If you could reduce your cost to deliver your product but keep the margins the same, would you be happy? Yes. Is that yes? Right. So, would it be a prudent exercise for you to go through all of your costs of input? Staff is a cost, they're a supplier. Your bank is a supplier, and credit, cash flow, you know, and fees. Your chemicals are a supplier. Your telecom is a supplier. Your marketing firm is a supplier. In each of those relationships, who has the better leverage? You. In all of those relationships, so you have the better leverage with the bank. No. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Because they can go to a lot of, they can sell a lot of different places, maybe they're limited too. So one of the things I'd like you to do, or as we go through this, is I'm just describing the model. If we're really looking at how we're going to change our pricing structure to our clients, we really need to look at where that power is and whether we have any ability to influence that power or change or shift that power. Okay. So the idea here is take a look at your customers, your existing customers. Who has the power in that relationship? What is going on in that customer base? Okay. They're losing their jobs. Are all customers losing their jobs? Are all people having their finances go down? No. So what part of your customer base are not being affected by the economy? Because we're looking at shifts here and we're looking for opportunities. And we're looking for potential risks to our business. So when someone says the customers can't afford us, we have to look at our business and say, how do we reduce our cost to serve that customer? Or how do we find customers that can afford us? And we'll go back. I'm going to put you through some of the exercises in a second as I explain this. Now, what's happening with your competitors? I heard one thing over here that said, undercutting prices. Somebody is undercutting you. Deceitful tactics. Were these unexpected when business gets tough? Deceitful tactics? Price cutting? No. So why are we talking about it today? Because we didn't do much in order to prevent it. See what I'm getting at? We start fixing it now. 3 years from now, we'll be able to take care of those opportunities because somebody else was sleeping at the switch. Okay, so let's get into some of this stuff. All right. Okay. So, let's take a look at our customers. One of the things was about affordability. Another one was about selling new concepts. One was getting new business. Okay? In the profitability. So, which one of those would you like to go deep on and try to solve? Undercutting prices, selling new concepts, getting new business. Getting new business. Okay. Everybody okay about getting new business? So let me ask you this question. Why do you need to get new business? What's happened to your existing customers that you need to get new business? Okay, so referrals are tough. Okay, and your business is mostly consumers, or your business is residential. Okay, you call it residential. Okay, and who has business-to-business, corporate business? You do. Do you do both? Okay. All right. So let's take a look at your customer, the consumer. What's going on in their life? Mm-hmm. Family people. Right. 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 What's going on in their life? Okay, so what are their big problems? Meeting their payments each month. Right. Okay. And you only come in when there's a problem. Right. And so they have to know to call you when there's a problem. Okay. So what is it that you can bring of value? Right now you're expensive in their terms. And they have a whole lot of choice out there to call. How many do you think they call every time, you know, they hear something in the attic? How many would they call?
There are people that would ignore it.
Right. So some would ignore it, wait till it, you know, maybe it'll go away, maybe it'll die. Right. And there's others that'll take action. And if they did take action, what, how many people, how many companies would they call to kind of have a look at it? Right. So maybe five companies. And so how do you win the business relative to your competitors? What do you think your client is making a decision on? Right. Okay. Warranty, costs, what you're going to do. Okay. Okay. So, why do you win business over somebody else? Right. So trust. Right. Okay. But they're doing that five times. Right. But they're still choosing you. So some of those other competitors are really not building that trust with them. So as a small business, there's certain ones that are attracted to you because you're the one doing the work. So why does somebody go to some of the bigger ones then? Trust. Right. Okay. So now we're starting to get a sense of where the problem is. Do you agree? Okay. So the challenge is that our, listen, there's always going to be somebody who's going to sell less. There's always going to be somebody to sell more. But your existing customers, all of a sudden, they're more worried about their incomes and their expenses. So just like everybody else, what's going on with them is they're looking at every single expense that they have. And for those that are in the corporate side, they're doing business with, they have contracts and ongoing regular contracts. What's happening with those companies? I'm going to use you as an example. What's going on in their mind, in their business? Okay. Right? Okay. Right. Okay. So they're all, or a lot of them, are looking at all of their expenses and saying, how do I reduce it? Because what's happening to their customers? It just flows down, right? So if we want to know what's going to happen in the next while for us, let's look at our customers, and let's look at their customers. And let's be monitoring what our customer's customer is doing. And if it's a consumer or residential, let's monitor what they're doing. So how do you know what your client, your customer's customer is doing, or their employer is doing? How do you find that out? How do you predict what's going to happen? You read the newspapers. If you read the newspapers, everything is going down the tubes, right? Yeah. So that's one way, is to take a look at that. But what's a more intimate way to know whether your specific customer, your specific customer groups are happening to? Because you said something very interesting. Some of my customers are doing great. Some of them aren't. And it'd be important to know which ones are and which ones aren't, or which ones are about to do great and which ones are about not to do so great, right? So when do you find out when they're not doing so great? They haven't paid the bill that month, or they call you in and say it's up for renewal and we're not renewing. Recessions. So let's just play that out a little bit more. So you're reading the newspapers, you're finding out which sectors are doing well, which sectors are not, and what happens when you go after that new sector or that sector that is starting to do well? Right? So they're more attractive for you, okay? And when you go in and bid on those accounts, okay, you're probably new coming into it, right? Because there's probably an existing person there. Right. And do you think anyone else has figured out that that's a recession beneficial? Not so much? No? Okay, so there's an opportunity there. Whenever there's a shift in the market, there's certain businesses that do well and certain businesses that won't. So on the macro basis, on the big basis, by reading the paper, you start to shift where you're going to put your efforts and to go after those markets. And the ones that get there first or sooner are probably going to benefit. So if you can predict where the puck is going to be by watching what's going on, then you can be into that sector. Now, what's going to happen in about a year or two if you're in that nice sector right now? Okay. Do you think the other part of your industry is going to realize that that sector is pretty good? Right. But they will. Because their current business is not doing well, so they need to go and find new business. This gentleman wants to know how to find new business. So one of the things we have to look for, who has the money to pay? Who in your customer base has not been shocked by the economy as much? Sure, bankruptcy lawyers. Okay. Government workers, except for the City of Toronto. Right? Okay. So when we see shifts like this, there's going to be the big shifts. There's going to be those industries that tend to do better in a worse economy and those industries that do well. If you're on the residential side and your clients work for those industries that are doing poorly, they're going to be more challenged. Now, if you knew that that was the case, what are they going to value most if they're financially challenged or they're about to lose their job or potentially lose their job? but they have a pest problem. What can you do for them that they're going to value more than when they were flush with cash? Come on. Installments. Right. So there's more of a creative solution. If you were to walk in and they were challenged on a budget and you were able to offer them an installment plan, would that give you a competitive advantage over somebody else? Yeah. Right. If you were able to offer them a lower cost solution, would that make you more attractive than somebody else? Yeah. I didn't say you cut your cost. I said it's a lower cost solution. Right. So can I ask you something? Why are you not doing that? So you're okay. Do you see an opportunity to go into some of those markets if you're doing really well to grow and expand into some of those markets that others don't want to have anything to do with? He's good. Okay. Here's what I'm looking at. We have a structural situation. Wayne Gretzky sits at the net. He looks around and says, where's the opportunity? Where's the puck going to go? Where's the opportunity to go in and pick up that puck and go and score? What's going to happen in your industry as we continue on? It will stay the same, or it'll go down, or you'll be more pressured. Okay. What's going to happen in your attractive industry is all these other people are going to go chasing it. It's kind of like watching five-year-olds play soccer. The ball's here. They all chase it, right? But if you're already there, what's going to happen if you're the one pushing the soccer ball right now? You're going to get tacked, okay? And then what's going to happen? Your prices have to go down to keep it. Your client has a lot more choice. Your price pressure goes down. So you need to be ahead of the game. So if you're, so you can expect in a very short period of time that you're going to have a whole lot of competition coming into your industry. So how would you protect yourself in that industry? Well, one of the advantages that you have is that you have the customer. If you have the customer, you understand their business far better, right? So if you have the customer, you have an advantage. You have market intelligence. You actually have customer intelligence. So you have an opportunity to really understand their business and know what's going on and how you impact the things that are important to them. Okay? So if you, here's my thing. If you have an industry like that and you're close with your customer, then get even closer and understand how your costs affect their business, how your service affects their business. Okay? Now, do you do that with your clients? Do you actually spend any time with them to say, tell me your business problems, tell me about your business? Right. Okay. If you could do more, you'd end up protecting that business because maybe you could understand I can get them into a longer contract. I can generate some services that work for them. It's more custom. And that prevents anybody else from coming in, even if it prevents them from coming in at a lower price because you're actually reducing their entire cost. So you can have strategies to reduce their whole cost of service. Because this guy, he's going to come over to you. He's going to say, I like your business because my clients aren't paying. Okay. I mean, am I getting the shifts? You're not getting it. The what? Right. Right. Okay. So here's the challenge. My customers don't have time to talk to me because I'm there to do their pest control. Right? I'm there to do the job and get it done and get it out. Right. Okay. So here's the situation. You guys, and this was brought up earlier, they don't look at us as being professional. You know, all the skills that we bring to the table. They don't know. They just know that we're coming in and we call you when there's a problem. And you fix the problem and you go away. What I'm suggesting to you is that you need to understand the impact that you have on their business and make them understand what that impact is. So they don't look at you as just a bug guy. Because by the time they have a problem, you are a commodity. Does anybody want to be a commodity in an industry? What happens if you're the commodity? You lose all of your power. Okay. So I understand and I appreciate that your clients don't have time to talk to you as a bug person. I got a business to run over here. You're my bug guy, or you're my rodent guy. Just keep me clean. Right. So the value that you bring is strictly around bugs. And so does everybody else here. What we do need to know, if we go back to the slide earlier, what is the customer value that you bring or can bring to that client? So if you can really analyze what their problems and challenges are, not their bug problems, their business problems. Absolutely. Okay. Sure. Okay. You're going to be a commodity. You're going to be a commodity. You are a commodity. And I can open up the telephone book, I can go Google anything, and I will find 2 million others that will be that product. So that means that puts the price on you. So you've got to be the low-cost producer. You've got to be the Walmart in your industry. Well, people go to Walmart not because of the customer service, but because of the lowest price. Right? So this is where you've got to show the value to your client. And this is what I'm getting at. And I'll give you a perfect example. Here's my example. I work with a client out of Arizona. They provide software. It's subscription-based software. It's software that they resell the software. So there's somebody behind it that does the software. So it's really a very commoditized thing. The prices are already set. They can get that software anywhere, actually, in the world for the same price. Over the last 2 or 3 years, the manufacturer, the producer of that software, is being squeezed because their industry is being squeezed. They provide software to the construction industry. So the construction industry in the United States is getting hit pretty hard, right? Right. So anybody can go. So all their competitors have dropped prices, and that's squeezed margins. Some of them have gone out of business because of it. Rather than do that, they took a look at their clients and said, what are their business challenges? So we could look at it. So rather than just supply them with that software, they started hosting clients to come in for lunch and learns and hosting conferences to talk about the business issues that were going on in the industry. That got them closer into their clients. The clients started to see them as the expertise because they did have some expertise other than just subscription to the software. And they found out that they could help those clients in some of those expertise. And not just by that, just by bringing those in and having those discussions, the clients were solving their own problems too. So now when they picked up the phone, they were just naturally picked up the phone to get their subscription from this company. Okay. They could have taken and started to expose you in this way, but they could have said, hey, we're just a commodity. We're just there to sell subscriptions. We're going to drop our prices. We're going to push harder. We're going to make more calls. We're going to go into somebody else's territory, and we're going to try to pick up business that way. That's one strategy. But now, what they're doing with their clients, they're bringing in other software solutions. They've created professional services that can go to that client that would not have happened. So this is what I'm getting at. We need to be creative when we're looking at these things because our standard way of looking at it is we'll drop prices. We'll cut our costs, and those ripple through. We need to find out where the customer value is and where the customer value is changing. And the only way that we get to do that is if we get closer to our customers. And we find out which customers are changing, where our competitors are going, and what our suppliers are doing so we can affect that. So in this particular scenario, they now have a 95% market share. Before the economy went bad, they only had a 65% market share. And they're set, the average sale for that particular client has quadrupled because now they're bringing in other solutions. So, yes, bugs, but maybe it's something else that you can bring to that client. Because if you own that relationship and you understand them, you can bring a lot more. Okay. This same approach can be used with your staff, too. One of the things that goes on in the marketplace right now is there's perhaps a lot of employment out there or people that are available, very skilled people. Maybe they're not in your industry, but they're out there, and they can transfer their skills into you. So that gives you the leverage as a hiring to go out and get talent and to get better talent and maybe at a lower cost. So that gives you the chance to bring your services to your clients less expensively. Maybe they're more efficient, maybe they're more effective. You can bring your services to your client more effectively. Okay? Because when everybody's got a job, it's very hard to attract somebody out of a job into your world. So we can look at these shifts and say, that's how we're going to stay ahead of the curve and use those shifts to our advantage and take the opportunity for it. Okay, I'm giving the time up here. Before I leave, the thing I want to say is, I know we didn't get through everything. I wanted to go through lifetime value. Okay, here's how I can be reached. And I would be happy to have a conversation with any of you about some of the challenges you're running into and possible solutions you can take away from it. I would love to have more time and put these workshops on a little bit more, but you know, we're limited here. Okay, but I offer that back to you. So that's how you can reach me. Okay, you can even use that to schedule time with me. Yeah, those are those tips. Okay. Any questions before I wrap up? Any other challenges that we can quickly run through? Okay. Thank you very much for your time. I hope it was helpful. The time you invest in being smart is going to save you a ton of time later. Okay?
Thanks very much, Grant.
Thank you.
You'll be around for questions. Anybody wants to speak to Grant, to be around if you want to speak to him on a private. We'll take a break now, guys. Just a reminder, you might want to stop by the Hub International booth, drop off a card if you want to be eligible for those Leaf tickets, and come on back in here. I think we're going to try and get the crew that's obviously not in here back in here, dropping off multiple tickets. Thanks very much.